Expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. I'm in the purple padded room with the North Korean equipment. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today, I have a call-in guest. I get him on about once a year because he wrote all financial aspects in Alaska that we still deal with. Sterling Gallagher, Commissioner of Revenue under the Hammond Administration. How you doing, sir?
Forget that sir part. That makes you sound old.
Well, you were a young Turk back then when you did that. Yeah, he grabbed you, never really met you before, but he heard about you, and bam, you did some incredible things.
Well, Alaska was different then. And we were 24 years of age, the average voter.
Yeah.
And now we're 42. And the needs of a 42-year-old are substantially different than a 24-year-old. I mean, AHFC was important then. It's become less important as time changed. But the dividend, from my viewpoint, hasn't changed. I mean, what the young 24-year-old has is, his life looking forward to him, and a little nest egg or a little money coming in helps, sort things out. A 42-year-old has obligations, and
well, let's go back to the beginning. The dividend, the permanent fund, was made as the rainy day fund. There was no dividend thought.
Right.
And then all the money started coming in. And, okay, let's give a dividend. Now, the dividend, as you've said, was designed to go into the economy in the fall when construction season shut down, fishing season shut down, and it was designed to put money in so people could pay a bill or two.
Right.
Now it is, people think of it as their God-given right that it's because, and I love this one, because the state of Alaska retains all mineral rights, that's ours for distribution as a dividend. I love that one, but that's not what it's there for, correct?
It's there to... The dividend is there to...
What I mean is because the state retains all mineral rights, it was never thought of, okay, that's why we give out a dividend. It was, the dividend was put out because of the M1 currency. Pleasure. Yeah. So anyway. So, but you're in favor of a constitutional amendment for a dividend.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the full bore. I mean... The citizens are getting a terrific break. We have the lowest cost of state government of any state in the union by far. I mean, we're half what anyone else is.
And some people will say, yeah, but our proportionately per person is high. And I say, well, that's always going to happen when you have less than 700,000 people in your state and you have more road miles. Yeah, excuse me, more area to govern than 1/5 of the United States.
That's absolutely true. I mean, policemen who have to cover lots of big areas cost money.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also said something that, when you guys designed this, I gave one of the first two reasons. But the third reason was that Governor Hammond thought that if you put a dividend out there, it would bring the people's involvement in watching the purse strings of the legislature. And boy, was he right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so this is, you know, I'm not, the dividend to me personally, I'm not a, you know, I like the dividend to put it in the Constitution. I'd want to see someone like you design it because you designed the original permanent fund and then the dividend. But this is what people aren't doing. You know, I look at this and I say, all you people who want this full dividend, why aren't you screaming at government because of the inefficiencies such as education department and the massive amounts of increases they've got over the last 15 years without any increase in income? Why, where are you?
Not only that, our performance in the education department, we went from 47th 8 years ago to 50.
Yeah.
I mean,
So here's Hammond, one of the original things is this makes you watch the other expenditures. And if I'm watching this expenditure, the outcome is the craps. It's horrible.
Especially in the education area. I mean,
yeah.
Being number 50 in the country is really bad. Number 49, by the way, is Oklahoma. And yes, they have a high native population in that state. But they do a little something different there. When a kid doesn't show up at school, a social worker arrives at the front door and asking why.
Yeah.
I mean, it puts the emphasis back on parents.
So if you're going to put this in the Constitution, what sort of design would you have for it?
That's a good question. It would still come out in October 1.
Yeah, exactly. The M1 coming into the banks. People can pay their bills.
Right. Well, and it goes further than that. There are ideas that we can address without... I'll give you an idea. We pay public employees good pensions.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they get them, they go to the South 48. How about adding 10% to your pension fund payment if you stay and live in Alaska?
Well, that has nothing to do with the permanent fund. This is constitutionally put it in the permanent fund in the Constitution. Let's stay there.
You're absolutely right. I'm just trying to...
Do other things. Yeah, I understand that. We can go back to that in a bit. But how would Sterling Gallagher, the guy who design the permanent fund, and then we're going to talk about the management of the permanent fund later after this. How would the guy who designed the permanent fund dividend design a program to put this into the state constitution? I think out of everyone in the state, you'd probably be the best at it.
Well, I would I have to think about it.
Oh, so, okay, so you're in favor of it, but under your auspices and
there are a lot of competing issues.
Yeah, there are.
I mean, and, you know, no one pays hardly any taxes at all, and what we do is way low, and...
This is how I see it. I'm going to say no to a constitutional amendment until I see one that I can look at and fiscally
I agree with
give
you
an outcome. Until then, it's just pie in the sky. Forget it. Don't come to me.
Yeah, but we need more backbone in the legislature, though.
Well, duh. Okay, buddy, we're going to take a commercial break, okay? And okay. Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
Up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Every child is on a journey to become the person they were meant to be.
At Children International, we're empowering children and youth to forge a path out of poverty. Walking alongside on their journey, we equip them with education, skills, and resources to succeed in every milestone of growth so they can achieve bright futures for themselves, their families, and communities. Learn more at children.org today.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
We're down here at the Valdez Docks with Josh, and you have been cleaning fish. We've been waiting for the pinks. Today, it looks like we have pinks. Tell us what you've been seeing down here at the fish cleaning tables.
Yeah, it's about time that they started to show up here in Valdez. They just now started showing up mid-July, and yeah, it looks like
The ones that came in today, they caught off of shore at Allison Point, right?
Yeah, it look from the people that I talked to, it looks like they came in overnight in big schools, and people were getting them every cast, and then just a couple days ago, it was pretty slow. So I honestly think the rain brought them in, so that's a good sign.
Usually we don't hope for rain, but now you want it to keep going?
Yeah, for sure. The rain brings in the salmon, that's what I've always said, and I think it's pretty accurate, and it shows with the pink showing up right now.
And what do you think about the numbers of pinks today? You're seeing a bunch, so what were the numbers that came in today?
I've probably done maybe around 50 pinks today.
And what are the size of the pinks that you're seeing here at the tables today?
Some of them are honestly pretty big. I've had a few males that are maybe around the 6 to 8 pound range, and then the typical average 3 to 5. So there's some good size pink salmon for sure.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies this afternoon with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 62. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 44. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 70. Tomorrow, sunny skies. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with, I have a call-in with Sterling Gallagher. How you doing, sir?
Just fine.
So, let's talk about the Permanent Fund Corporation, not the dividend, just the operation management of it. I think we're both in agreement that they're risk averse, and that's hurting the overall rate of return.
That's correct. It should be. We're getting 7 to 8, and we could easily get 13. And, you know, an extra $1.5 billion into the economy would make a real difference in this economy.
What are they doing right, and what are they doing wrong?
They haven't broadened their investment list in 20 years. There are things like options and commodities that they don't do. Commodities have a tendency to be inflation-driven and demand-driven, so you can pretty well plot those and figure out where to be as they are in their cycle. Options, I only sell them. I never buy them. And I get the accretion, the amortize away. And in my portfolios that I manage for people, I don't do one for less than a 30% rate of return. And you can easily get those sort of options. I can get into the mathematics on them. If
That's okay. I don't want to pull out my HP calculator on my phone and go over derivatives with you.
Right, but they are a big market. We could easily do well with that. We could also invest in the difference between United States rates of return and international ones are substantial, like 20 to 25% higher.
True.
And they're higher dividend, too. So, you know, taking a broader view would be useful. And, you know, that goes to the management. The management are good people. However, they are
constrained,
mostly legal driven.
Yeah,
and making sure everything is legally right instead of market driven. And
they're constrained. They're constrained.
They don't have a vision where the market's going, and then they pay high dollars to people, firms. I mean, their cost of management's 2%. It should be about 0.75. And there's an extra $80 million in the budget a year. You know, what's that between? I mean, it's that sort of thing that I would like to see changed.
Okay. You're quite critical on the gas line coming from Prudhoe Bay. Are you critical on the project itself, or do you like the imposed new taxation on the whole gas line system?
I'm critical on both.
I figured as much. So let's start with the gas line itself. Why are you critical on the gas line itself?
Everyone thinks oil lines and gas lines are alike. They're not. In order to operate an oil line, it takes a half of 1% of the oil to operate it. To operate a gas line 800 miles takes 15% of it. It's almost 30 times as expensive to operate it from a managerial. I mean, short distances work fine in gas lines, but 800 miles, and to what end? There is a gas field in Cook Inlet called the Susitna gas field that has doubled the reserves of Prudhoe Bay.
And this is the one that they're trying to stop the road to get to.
No, actually, they haven't.
The West Susitna road system?
Actually, they haven't. Actually, you've talked about it yet.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of my appointments this afternoon.
But basically, what you're saying is there's a bigger gas field a lot closer. To Anchorage and to export.
Yes. I mean, instead of spending 15% of the to move it that distance, you start with, I mean, a bigger gas field, you can, that's a lot of money at 15%.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not so sure that Glenn Farn, who has never built anything in their life, is up to the task of doing an 800. It's a complicated task.
My thought is, they're like a resource engineer. They go in, do all the data, do all the permits, they sell the project.
But it's. In order to develop the gas field down here, it takes a half of 1% of all that $50 billion to develop this field versus, yeah. I mean, it is highly risky, and the other one is very low risk. A half of 1%, give me a break.
And it's right there. How long of a line are you talking about getting to Anchorage or getting down to the the Kenai for export?
70 miles.
Versus 800.
Yeah. And the you might consume, you know, 1.5% instead of 15. I mean, is that sort of economics or physics that you don't change?
True. True. You don't change the physics on that. So now you just had the Democrats in both the House and the Senate take the Senate's version of a new gas taxation bill. That was a bill that was supposed to be a gas line bill, but now it's a gas taxation bill. And you're not in favor of that bill. Why?
The current severance tax on gas is 5% on anything that isn't sold to a utility. We haven't established that the production works yet. Let's establish that first. Let's get the cart before the horse. I mean, let's make sure everything works before we, you know. I knew the profitability of Prudhoe Bay before I did a severance tax. I was wrong in that the price was $15, $16, and it dropped to $8. I was wrong, but not dead wrong.
So, well, you had B.S. Wilikowski get his way because he can't stand Hillcorp.
Well, but Hillcorp is an oil taxation. He's switching oil taxes. And I agree with Bill. I think oil should be taxed the same whether you're an S corporate, a C corporation.
Yeah, but he's putting that on a not a product, but on a development from the very beginning.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he does. And whether the economics will work, whether the economics will work without that is one thing, but with what he did, it will never work, my opinion.
Well, it is a lot easier to take the gas off the North Slope and get $8.
And here's what you said. You said, you know, start it out and get it going. You know, the oil Trans-Alaska pipeline has been, what, had 17 alterations in its taxation?
I don't know.
Yeah, about that, I think. So it's not like whatever you do is the beginning forever.
For one.
What's that?
I'm responsible for one.
Yeah, the original, the OG. I beg your pardon?
Blame me.
No. Heck, you know, every administration, except I think the Dunleavy one, has had a different gas tax on it. I mean, different oil tax on it. Oh, boy. Anyway. Well, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here. We're going to have some bumper music, Sterling, and then after the bumper music, we're going to go into some Fox News. Then we're going to go into some state news. Then we're going to go into some commercials and weather. We're going to hear all about the Valdez Fishing Report. And the sad part about it is the Valdez Fishing Report's only going to be on us for about another month. And then we hit September, and we're going into fall real fast. So can you hang on for a bit, Sterling?
Absolutely.
Okay, Fairbanks, we'll be back after these messages.
Pilgrim Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The United States pausing attacks against Iran over the weekend after weeks of military escalation. President Trump says Iranian negotiators want a meeting.
They requested a meeting. They would not have requested the meeting if we were doing poorly. The only reason they want to meet is because we've been hitting them very hard.
Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid speaking to reporters about the recent shooting of the wife of the team's assistant coach, Eric Bieniemy. Coach Reid says his assistant coach will be able to get through this dark time.
Things happen sometimes, and Eric will work through it. He's got a great support group here, as does his family, as needed. And then we'll just let time take care of it from there.
Audio courtesy of the Kansas City Chiefs officials at the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office arresting 27-year-old Elijah Bieniemy for allegedly shooting his mother Mia at the family's home in Virginia this weekend. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports Alaska state troopers have named the woman who died in Friday's crash on the Sterling Highway. The preliminary investigation determined a Dodge pickup truck was traveling southbound when it drifted into the northbound lane, colliding with an oncoming motorhome, troopers said. A motorhome passenger, 64-year-old Karen Bronga of Anchorage, was declared dead at the scene. The man driving the motorhome was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, while the woman driving the truck was medevaced with serious injuries, according to AST. The highway was closed for about 8 hours. The cause of the crash remains under investigation, though troopers say alcohol does not appear to be a factor. Anchorage Mayor Suzanne LaFrance posted on Facebook saying, "I am deeply saddened to hear former Assemblymember Karen Bronga passed away Friday in a tragic traffic accident. Karen was a dedicated public servant in our community and gave so much of herself for our schools, trails, and neighborhoods." Representative Andrew Gray also posted a statement saying, "Her loss is a huge tragedy for East Anchorage."
Online at KFAR660.com.
In Alaska, trust matters, especially when it comes to your gold. Gold Buyers of Alaska is one of the largest refiners in the state, buying placer mining material from miners across Alaska. From Nome to Coldfoot to Chicken, they've built a reputation for honest, transparent service and fast turnaround. Whether it's 3 ounces or 1,000, they've got your back with competitive pricing every single day. Ask around camp, ask a miner who they trust. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
Dearest Mother, the midnight summer sun now graces the land I call home, and I have discovered the most delightful reprieve, Brewster's. Their grilled chicken salad, blackened chicken salad, and Cobb salads are as refreshing as a cool stream on a steamy afternoon. I also recently dove into deep-fried Alaskan halibut with a delightful beer batter I could not resist. Pray, let us escape the heat together and enjoy these splendid offerings. Brewster's provides not just a meal, but solace from the summer's embrace. Your beloved son, Henry.
Why is a billionaire from Pennsylvania running ads in Alaska about getting rid of ranked choice voting?
Dum, 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 dum. Vote yes, yes.
It's because ranked choice is part of an Alaskan election system that includes open primaries and dark money disclosure laws. Open primaries allow us to vote for the best candidate, regardless of party. Dark money disclosure requires outside spenders to tell us where they get their money. These outsiders want to control our elections, and they don't want you to know about it. They don't want you to know that Ballot Measure 2 gets rid of open primaries, taking power from you and giving it back to the political parties. And it lets outsiders flood Alaska with untraceable campaign cash. These outside billionaires think Alaskans are
dumb, 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 dumb.
Vote no on closed primaries. Vote no on dark money. In November, vote no on Measure 2. This communication paid for by Protect Alaska's Elections. Top three contributors are Unite America PAC, SEIU 775 Ballot Fund, and a Mary Minor.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Sterling Gallagher, the Commissioner of Revenue under the original Commissioner of Revenue under Governor Jay Hammond. How you doing there, sir?
Fine.
So tell me, what was your relationship with Governor Hammond like?
Well, I didn't meet him until after he got elected by a landslide of 78 votes.
I know.
And he came looking for the guy who gave him ideas. And the two ideas that got him the vote were a conventional only FHA and VA subdivisions were approved under AHFC at that point in time. It was $200 million in size. And if you took that away and did, you know, ordinary PMI sort of mortgages, then you could do the subdivision rules went away. So you change things quite rapidly to meet the demand. The other one was municipal bond bank. One got the endorsement of the realtors, and the other got the endorsement of the Municipal League and the governor, which was Egan. And so he wins by a landslide of 78 votes, and I got told I was commissioner the day I turned 32. So, you know, I had to grow up.
Oh, boy, those were the days. So guess what we're going to do now?
What?
We're going to play Dave's Lottery. That's right, Dave's Lottery. I've got so far, I've had 9 people give me their answers to Dave's Lottery. And what it is the gubernatorial primary is on August 18th. And you are going to give me not who you want to win, not who you think would be the best at being the governor, but your placements of 1, 2, 3, and 4. And basically, these are the choices I think have a realistic chance of being there. Begich, Bishop, Bronson, Crum, JKT, Halala, Taylor, Walker, and Wilson. So out of all that, Sterling, you've worked for a governor or two. You worked for Walker for a bit. What is your who's your number? Who do you think is going to finish first in the
primary?
Yeah, and there's no argument from you. There's no, you know, we'll talk about strategies and who takes away from who later on. But who's your number one?
Who's likely that is the leading candidate right now is Begich, and okay. I think 3 weeks to go, and he's ahead by 18% versus 13% for Bernadette.
So is Wilson your number two?
Yes, I think Walker will move up in the.
We're going to get there.
Okay.
Who's your number three?
Bernadette is. Well, let me talk about her a minute. She's got a great personality and vivacious, but she needs to bring ideas. How to be different.
Sterling, who's your number three?
Who's my number three?
Yeah. Who's coming in third?
I think Mr. Bishop out of Fairbanks.
And who's your number four?
I would have to say I guess I'd like to see Mr. Crum make it.
That's not who do you think, not who you like. Who do you think's going to be number? Who's your number four? Crum?
Yeah, I think he can put it together in the short time. I mean,
okay.
It's all about 3 weeks to go and name recognition.
And your number one. Most people don't know Tom Begich from Adam, but they know the name. And he's probably the only pure, with JKT now, the only pure Democrat in the race. So he's the first one. He's the pure one. So my thought is he that doesn't mean he's going to be governor, but he's going to be the number one vote getter out of this whole menagerie. That's my thought.
I agree with you.
Okay. Now your number two is Wilson. So tell me about why she's number two and what's good, what's bad, what's you know, yada, yada, yada.
She is a granddaughter of Hickel.
She's a grandniece of Hickel.
Oh, okay.
And the Hickel family, the heirs, the kids of Walter, just sent her a letter saying, "Don't use our name."
I thought it was funny too. I mean,
yeah, now they're not getting a cease and desist from a few equations over in your family name.
Sure. She's got a very nice personality. I mean,
yeah, she does.
She knows how to smile, and
She's a personality powerhouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that will get her in. What needs she got to figure out is ideas now.
So she's got to call you.
911.
Then your number three is Bishop.
Bishop has the labor and Fairbanks behind him. But, you know, that doesn't translate into Anchorage or Matt Sue. But he has labor, and labor still matters in this state. And I think he's going to sneak in, but he'll be three or four somewhere.
What got me is basically, after the last APOC, he had zero money. He spent it all.
Well, you got to spend it before the election, right?
Yeah, but not 30 days out. You better have some powder in your gun.
Sure. No,
what is Walker? People have said that Walker affects him.
Walker, I sent Walker the document on who's sitting in a gas field.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't. And I sent it to Randy. And Randy, I guess, hasn't explained to him that one is 75 miles away and the other one's 800 miles away. I mean, it makes no economic sense why he's even talking about it. And
how is he going to take away from Bishop, though?
He is. I mean, people will believe the experience thing. But experience has got to count for something.
True.
And his negative is on the permanent fund dividend. I mean, it's a big drag on him.
Who, Bishop?
No.
Walker?
Walker.
Oh, you mean the guy who, had to, I admired him, to tell you the truth. He had to reset it. There's no way you could pay it. You're going to bounce checks.
Well, either that or tax the people. I mean, it's
yeah.
The other
don't even think about taxing me to give a dividend out. Don't even go there. That's socialism, redistribution of wealth at its core.
Anyway.
So your number four is Crum.
Yeah. Crum is young enough and energetic enough to get there.
Well, he's also the Commissioner of Revenue like you, and he's also the Commissioner of Health and Social Services.
Yeah. He knows state government pretty good.
And so you think at the end of the day he's going to be one of the final four?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think he beats out Walker because he's a fresh face, and he's from Homer and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that we've got through that, who would you like to see win?
It's a good question. Begich bought my lunch.
So you can be bought, okay.
but my price is low, though. I would like to see a Republican candidate come up with ideas. I like to see more ideas come forward.
Amazing. So you haven't, this is Dave's theory here. Dave's the lottery, but Dave's theory. I think that 30% or more people do not know who they're going to vote for yet. And they're not going to make up their mind until they're in that booth.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think the last minute advertising will make make differences than what we see now. But you know, the value of ideas also is important.
Yeah. Sterling, we're going to take our final commercial break, okay, buddy?
Okay.
And Fairbanks, if you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Last winter was so long and cold. I don't know if I can take another one like that.
Care for your home this summer with help from the Woodway.
But Radio Man seems overwhelming and I don't know where to start.
Start your journey toward putting safe fire inside your house at the Woodway.
What if I want a gas fireplace and not a wood stove?
You're in luck. The Woodway has heating appliances for wood, pellet, gas, and heating oil. It's your one-stop shop for heating needs.
Thanks, Radio Man.
Check out rebates in July from Hearthstone and Toyotomi at the Woodway in College Road.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
It's Fireweed and Cedar Wellness Collective on Pegger Road. Imagine a place where healing, relaxing, and community come together. That's Fireweed and Cedar, where they believe wellness should be accessible to everyone. That's why their yoga classes are just $1 plus pay what you can, with medical-grade red light therapy, private thermal spa, compassionate mental health therapists on hand as well. Fireweed and Cedar Wellness Collective. This week, get a $50 gift certificate for half price on this week's 50-50 offer.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
It's summertime in Fairbanks. Time to take care of winter's damage, like those trees leaning dangerously towards your house or car. That's unsettling. It's time to call Eric and his crew at the Great Alaska Tree Company. Licensed, bonded, insured, and professional. Great Alaska Tree Company are the ones to call to get the job done and done right. And it's more affordable than you would think. And one less thing to worry about. They'll haul them away, cut them up, whatever you wish.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate for your year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
KFAR Weather.
Slight chance for isolated showers today. Otherwise, cloudy. High of 62, northwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 44 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 70 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. Cloudy and dry Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 60s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Sterling, how you doing, sir?
Good.
So here's something that I want you to think of. If you put a constitutional amendment for the permanent fund dividend, my personal thought is, it has to come out of the legislature because there it's thoroughly debated. And I use as an example, if it comes from industry or some people writing it, that they're going to skew it totally to the way they want. Maybe too much goes into the dividend or maybe not enough or maybe not at all or whatever. And the example I use is the marijuana. The industry was written by the retail, and they had the growers paying all the taxes. And who's in trouble right now? The growers. That's my thought.
That is wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, when I talked about the tax situation, and I brought up the thing about the gasoline tax being the lowest in the country by 90% or worse than that. But he said, well, I'd never get elected if I, and that's, therein lies the problem. We are trust fund babies, and how to manage government for trust fund babies is a little bit tricky. And but when you describe people as trust fund babies, they'll resent that. But, you know, we our state government costs half what any other state government costs. And, you know, I'm actually proud of it. However,
Yeah, it gets interesting. It does get interesting. What is the one area that you see in state government that they can make the greatest fiscal change to?
Okay, to
bring in more revenue.
Bring in more revenue and cut their administrative costs.
Okay.
I mean, 2% versus 0.75 is...
Yeah, on a $80 billion fund, yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, you're going from, you know, $4 billion to $1.5 billion. About $1.2 billion, yeah.
There's another thing, though. I mean, like the Susitna gas field doubles the permanent fund in 20 years.
Yeah.
This gas line only adds $6 billion. One puts 80-some in the permanent fund, and the other one does 6. I mean, why are we even talking about it? And that's the, I mean, I think in terms of results from the permanent fund.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hello, it's Lee out of the Valley.
Hello, Lee out of the Valley. How you doing?
Very well, sir. Interesting program that you have today, especially with the Rack and Stack with your guest. And just a couple of things that I've observed in correlation with these different candidates, and it doesn't really matter who they're affiliated with in terms of party. I hear the word fisheries, and it's kind of interesting that we keep talking about fisheries because every year they're depleted, and all of our friends out of Seattle make sure of that, and all of their friends in the federal government, you know, the ones that actually control the fishing industry and the fishing authorizations in and around our waters here in Alaska. Our local politicians, the ones that really want to be governor or they really want to be a state senator or representative, they indicate that they can actually control fisheries. Bald-faced lie. They cannot. None of them have a plan other than a one-word slogan. And then, of course, second to that is education. And since we're now behind Mississippi, I think we need to jump on the bandwagon and find out exactly what these folks mean when they say improve education, because the more money we throw at it, the worse it gets. So with that in mind, I would challenge you gentlemen that are in the business of talking with these folks to actually come up with an idea besides a one-word slogan, whether it's fisheries or education, that will be meaningful to this population. Because right now, as you can tell, we're whittling away our money in the PFD, and we're finding ways to get rid of it quicker, better, faster, so that the population has no reason to stay here other than to look at the four walls.
Lee, thank you for your phone call. Greatly appreciate it. I'm going to go start going through that with Sterling right now. Thank you, sir. So, Sterling, let's look at what Lee has said, and let's go to the largest portion of our state budget, education. What would you do to curtail the cost of education and at the same time make education better? What's your ideas?
I like what Oklahoma is doing, which is, you know, if you don't show up at school, you get I think a lot of the educational performance has to do with parents. And, you know, if the parents know someone's going to knock on their door and find out why the kid isn't in school, that makes a difference. But we got to incentive.
Do you think that if they miss so much, you know, unless it's like a sickness, health, yada, 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 that they are discounted, that student is now discounted from the budget of the school district, so they don't get that. Yeah, that's going to make the school district knock on the door. How's that?
You got that right.
Lee, how's that for a thought, buddy? Thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate it. That made me think about that. You know, like you said, Sterling, they knock on the door.
Yeah, and it makes it personal.
Yeah.
Your kid's performance is personal. And you parents better figure out how to get those kids motivated. But because, you know, being subsistence, having a subsistence lifestyle is living hand to mouth the rest of your life.
Let's look at the next thing that Lee said, fisheries. Yeah, and he's right. Everyone talks, fisheries. What would you do to change management of fisheries? You know, it's you're dealing with Mother Nature, first of all. So what's your thought on fisheries?
I actually agree with the gentleman about figuring out how to ban the trawl fishery. I mean, escaping the bottom and getting up the babies, and I think
by catches high, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the fishery this year is because we had such a rainy summer, the fisheries are all late this year. So the water doesn't, it's fresh water coming down there. They're not used to. So I think that they're about to come in, but, you know, it's.
What the heck? Well.
Yeah, go fishing tomorrow is the point.
Okay, so we have education, fisheries, natural resources.
I want to make a comment, and I am being critical here. I looked at the Department of Corrections. And every one of the parole board is an ex-guard.
That's not good.
Yeah. Why we're making the emphasis on, you know, keeping people down, not up. We got to put... Our junior college system isn't very good in the state. And, you know, I'd make sure we had a junior college system in around our prisons so that when they get out, they have a job they can go do.
Yeah, if you're in the pen for 5 years or less, you're going through, and you don't have a, you know, high school education, you're getting that, and you're getting a JC, you know, simple as that.
Yeah. We need to change our prison system so that people have hope.
There you go. Or bring them in and, you know, give them welding, you know, that sort of the blue collar job education.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, hey, buddy, we got about a minute left. It's been great. I fly down, you know, with AHFC board meeting in August and going out to Kotzebue, and appreciate you, you know, picking me up at the airport when I get back and bringing me back to the airport the next morning.
Sure thing.
Okay. We'll talk more. You take care. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Greatly appreciate it. And with Sterling... You hear it right from the guy who designed it all, and he's pretty smart. So, anyway, you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow. I have John Ringstead and Brett Roderman, Local Government.